We're going to finish up Romans chapter 5 this morning, chapter 5 and verse 20. If you'd take your Bibles and turn there, please. When we pick up our Bibles, sometimes at home in particular, or if it's at church, sometimes we pick up our Bibles because we're told to. It's an obligation. You brought it, let's use it. And sometimes we come with an anticipation, and that's what I'd hope for this morning. Come with an anticipation that God would speak to us from His Word and fill us up. There are people who have discovered that the Bible touches their minds and hearts just like the psalm promised in 119:105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Verse 130 in that psalm says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." So when we read the Bible, a good thing to ask is, "What do you want me to know, Lord? What do you want to show me today? What instruction, direction do you have?" Well, let's see if we can answer the question that's in our text this morning. Don't you know? But let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, please open your word that we might receive the wonderful things that are in your law, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Well, let's back up to verse 20 and 21 in chapter 5. why was that added on to the discussion we had last week about the great gift that we have in salvation, justification, redemption that's in Christ Jesus? Well, what does 20 and 21 say? Let's just read that first sentence. "The law was added so that the trespass might increase." You know, I've been a lot of places that I shouldn't have been. But there were no signs that said, "Don't come here. Don't cross this grass." When I was in sixth and seventh grade, just a little personal illustration there. I lived in Portland, Oregon. We had to walk a long ways to school. So we took shortcuts whenever we could. And there was a yard that had you really could see a path that went across the corner of their place. And we decided to make a path out of it since it looked like a path. And so we started cutting across that corner, a big yard. It was on a corner lot. I can remember it had holly and Oregon, stickery stuff. Holly and Oregon grape, big holly bush, huge bush. And I can remember that because sometimes horsing around, somebody would get pushed into the bush. But then we started off to school one morning and there was a sign right next to the sidewalk. "Stay off the grass, private property." Oh man, that added probably 15 seconds onto our walk to school. But we had to go around, make the corner on that corner lot, and head off to school. Until that sign was there, we weren't hurting anybody. But as soon as the sign was there, when we walked across, if we still chose to do that, what were we doing? We were trespassing. God in His law tells us that until there was law, there was no trespass. But the law was given so that the trespass might increase. And you know what that did to guilt? It factored up also, didn't it? Not only am I doing something someone else, in the Scripture's statement, it's I'm doing against God, but I know that there is a law that I'm breaking. The law was given so that the trespass might increase. Well, that was done so that people would understand that when you are forgiven, you're not forgiven for a big deal. Your trespasses have increased, and grace increases to cover whatever your sin, your trespass is. That God's forgiveness is greater than our sin. So the law reveals sin, and we live in an age of sin. See that in the last couple weeks and the mass shootings, and I saw a little clip on something or other that showed them for this president. It's been going on a long time. And we could go to other countries, mass shootings. However, I'm going to get on a soapbox just for a second, a minute, 3 minutes. Because, and I was asked several times, why does this happen? We have trained our young people, young adults, to be animals. That life is highly evolved from something very small and up through gaining intelligence all the way to reach its supreme peak in humanity, and there is no sanctity of life. We have a cat. Can I talk about our cat? We have our cat that if we let it out in the evening and said, I don't want you to kill any birds. You can catch the mice, but do not catch a bird. Squirrels are halfway good too. Leave them alone. I don't think that would have any effect. Because he has been raised to be a cat. Our young people have been raised that they are an extension of the apes. What do apes do? They eat and they do whatever they please. And we live in an age of sin. And we've trained people through the school system, through the curriculum that is laid out for their teachers. I know when I was in high school, I had advanced biology and different things. You have to figure all this out and give it back on a test. And I made an effort to get the test right and then say, this isn't true. Consciously say, I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to let what I was told in the classroom determine how I'm going to live. Because I have a higher authority. I have the Scriptures. And that will determine my way of life. And so when young people are taught to behave like animals without morals, and some of the music that they listen to, and some of the games they play, it's animal behavior without morals. The Bible tells us something else. The Bible tells us, in fact, just for kicks, I looked it up a while ago, in Genesis chapter 9. If you have your Bible, turn there. These pages are really close to the front of your Bible, and they might kind of stick together. But Genesis chapter 9, and this is after the flood. This is neat. This is cool, because this is what we're living with even now. It was a long time ago, but God said something that we need to realize as believers in God, as believers in the Scriptures, as Christians who've received the Lord Jesus and living for Him. This is where we stand. Genesis chapter 9, verse 4. God's giving Noah instructions about after the flood, what are we supposed to do? He says, you can eat anything. The animals are given to you as meat also, as food. Everything that lives and moves, in verse 3, will be food for you, just as I've given you the green plants, now I give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each man too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of men, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God created man. What's the important thought there? Are we animals? Oh, well, which kingdom do we belong to? On and on. Nothing else was created in the image of God. There is sanctity of life. Life is sacred. God holds it as sacred because in His image we have been made. Not physical image, but who He is in creating us with a will to choose, with creativity and a lot of the characteristics that God has in His image. So where sin increased, what does chapter 5 of Romans say? And verse 20 goes on, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Forgiveness. The law reveals sin. Forgiveness reveals God's grace. And we live in an age of grace. We do live in an age of sin all around us, but we live in an age of grace. Paul presented himself as an example of this grace in 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul wrote about this. He considered himself, and I can't help it. He wrote under the inspiration of God, and he said, I'm the chief of sinners. And God didn't say, no, you're not. God put his stamp of, that is correct, on Paul's statement. But he says in verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. And here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Got that right. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. In Romans 5, sin increased, the trespass increased, but grace increased all the more. Paul set that example, and so we're set free by forgiveness. We're set free to love. The book of Galatians, in chapter 5 and verse 13, it says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. And I need to apologize because I may have been misunderstood many, many times in talking to people that how would I say it? I don't remember. I can't remember my own words. That's not very good. Oh, here it is. That when God opens a door, go through it. When God opens a door for you in your life, go through it. And I realized this week that that could be misunderstood. And actions might result that are not right because Satan can open a door. Satan can give you a temptation and then give you the opportunity to fulfill it. And so I withdraw that statement as said in the past. Now, when I say it in the future, you'll know what I mean. Because undoubtedly, I'll repeat it. But when we say, if there's an open door for you, I would say now, ask God for His direction. Does this in any way conflict with what the Bible says? Does this in any way stir up an agitation because the Holy Spirit is convincing you, convicting you, this is not the way to go? Because just because a door is open, I had the opportunity to do this. Was that a good thing? Might be asked afterward. Say, I don't know, it didn't turn out well. We need to discern what open doors from God are like. And we need to submit our will to the Scriptures. Just because there's an opportunity to do something doesn't mean God is in it. That's how the temptations come. It looks attractive. It looks like a perfect opportunity. It looks like a good provision. Whatever it is. But it's Satan laying out something and saying, you know what? I'm setting a snare for you. You open that door, you take a step, you're caught. We need to be careful. And so when he speaks of the trespass increases, but there's more grace, he forgives greater than what our trespass is, we want to be careful that we're bringing everything in our lives under the authority of God, under the authority of Scripture, and not say, you know what? This is where we're going, because the next question is, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? So that we give evidence of the grace of God. It doesn't matter what I do, because God's grace, in His love, He'll cover it. To a degree, that's true. But I think all of us have found out that if we sin, God's grace will, in His grace, will forgive us, but He doesn't necessarily take away the consequences. He doesn't say, oh, you'll never be hurt by this then. Paul anticipated, that's the next point on your, shall we go on sinning that so that grace may increase on your outlines there. So Paul anticipated this extreme response. Our grace, or our sin, demonstrates God's grace. There's a low view of death and resurrection of Jesus. The low view is, Christ died for my sins. He was buried and rose again, and He's given me eternal life. Good for me. Doesn't really affect my life from now on, but I've got my ticket. And that's a low view of Christ in His death and burial and resurrection. There is a high view. The high view of Jesus is to be all that you can be for His glory. So since He saved me from sin, I want to live a life that pleases Him and lifts him up for others to see, that my life will produce fruit that, where's it going to stop? To glorify him. So as we live in today's world, how should we understand grace? Now this might stomp on toes. As I went through this myself, I thought, that wasn't very pleasant. So I'm going to give it to everybody else too, so we can all be uncomfortable together. I've got four references. 1, 2, 3, 4. Just to reinforce this idea that I'm not free to indulge my sinful nature. That's what Galatians 5:13 says. So brethren, don't live for fleshly desires, but serve one another in love. So we're going to go all over the place here. 1 John is the first one that I have. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. They're on the screen, but a lot of people don't have that good of eyes. So I don't either. So I've got it printed here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But what does God want us to know? But you know that he appeared, that Jesus appeared, so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. How do we live in this world? Jesus came to take us out of sin, away from sin. Sin out of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. As long as the pages are rustling, I'll wait. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And later in that chapter, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And then the one that clinches it for me, when we talk about the grace of God, is Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say, what? To say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You see where that business of saying no just because a door is open, it teaches us to say no to the things that would be destructive in our lives, to ungodliness and worldly passions. And then to really nail the thing, I got a reference in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Now we would want to know, and other people want to know, if there's anything that will keep us out of heaven, what would that be? There are people that have the reputation of being good people. There are people with the reputation of doing the very best they can. Is there anything that would keep us, any individual, out of heaven? Well, there's a lot of lists in the New Testament of what sin must be dealt with and forgiven. But people that are holding on to their lives, they read Revelation chapter 21 and verse 18, or verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts or sorcery, the idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, this is a pretty short list. But even in the first couple, what is it? Unbelieving. Not believing God. Not believing the testimony that God has given of his son. What's the testimony that God has given of his son? And this is the testimony in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given unto us eternal life. And this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. He who does not have the son of God does not have life. These things I have written unto you that believe in the name of the son of God, that you may know something else, that you may know that you have eternal life. Wow. Believers are in heaven. The unbelieving that don't believe that life is in Christ, that I need Jesus in my life. So there's something I'd like for you to write down. Shall we go on sinning? By no means. Would you write that in that slot on your notes? Write it down. Just, it registers something more than just reading the words. If you actually write it down with a pen or a pencil and you something comes up and you think, by no means, where'd that come from? Oh, it's in the Bible. Romans 5, or Romans 6, 2. So it tells us in chapter 5 and verse 21 that it's through righteousness. Through the grace reigns in righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in 3 and 4, don't you know? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? If you are in Christ, if Christ is in you, through statement of your faith, acknowledgement of your need, then you were baptized into him. That word baptizo means to be placed into. You were placed into Christ. You're in him. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, it tells us, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the Spirit, the one Spirit, to drink. So that's why we call the church the body of Christ. We're his hands and feet. Have you heard on the radio that song about being hands and feet? What's God doing in this world? Well, what are you doing? He's given us the means to express his will and his pattern in this world. But how did it happen? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So you were placed into Christ, you were baptized into Christ. That happened when you believed on the Lord Jesus. And what did you believe? Lord, I'm a sinner. It's not getting any better. It doesn't get better as we get older. It gets bitter, and it doesn't taste good because sin works away at us and it's destroying. Unless we have Christ in our life. And so when we believed, having believed, we are placed in him. We are included in him. Believed. Believed that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he is buried, rose again. And he took our sins on himself. And what it talks about here, this is something that is done whether we know it or not. All of us who were baptized into Christ were buried with him in death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, we too, through the glory of the Father, may live a new life. So the statement that I have in the bulletin, and I'd like for you to write it in if you have it, water baptism or our identification with Christ involves a burial. and it's illustrated with water. It involves a burial. It's illustrated with water. Water baptism illustrates what has happened through the agency of the Holy Spirit. So we grasp what God wants us to know. We are new creations in Christ, having died to sin, and have the opportunity and calling to walk in newness of life. So Paul's question, or that he anticipates, shall we go on sinning? No. It's a way of saying, shall we presume upon God's grace and go on sinning? Absolutely not. We have been raised with Christ to live new lives. In our new lives, we have full assurance of hope. We have a confident expectation that our eternal destiny will be with our Savior and Lord in the place He prepared for us. And I'd like to ask a question this morning. Have you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you acknowledged that you've committed trespasses? You've declared that God is not your Lord. You've lived that way. But you realize your sin can be forgiven. There are people, and I was thinking back on my younger years, when a men's group that I knew about would go down to the Portland Skid Row. They would find men down there who would say, you know, when I was a young person, I went to church and did all this and that and the other thing. Well, how did you end up here? I got trapped. I got started in something I couldn't quit. And I ended up here. Shall we go on sinning? No. We need forgiveness. We need the new creation. We need the life of Christ to indwell us by His Holy Spirit. Have you received Christ? And have you been brought into life in Christ? And if so, have you made your testimony clear by obeying the Lord in baptism? The disciples, and we too, I believe, were instructed, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've taught you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. But if that's something that you would pursue, I'd like for you to let me know and we can have a visit and make plans that way. But the Lord wanted us to know you have been buried with Christ. You died with Christ. You were buried in baptism. You rise to walk a new life, a life in Christ, a life in the Spirit, and enabled to live a life pleasing to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And what response you make to the Lord, to this scripture, have that communion with the Lord. Let's just pray for a minute and respond. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can add nothing to the salvation you provide. But you want us to live in such a way as followers of the Lord Jesus that we're willing to declare our faith, that we're willing to make a stand, that we're willing to train up those who are coming behind us, our young people, our children, young believers. I pray that you'd use us all together as a church to shed the light, to share the Lord Jesus in our community and wherever we are, that the light would be shared along the way. We've had prayer requests of material destruction. But I thank you that we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can know you're in control of our lives. We can know that we have a certain, a sure inheritance with you. That our place, our dwelling, cannot be harmed in any way. Pray for those that are here today and visiting and traveling. And Lord, may the words of the scriptures be food for thought as they go. Encourage, embrace them with your love, as we would ask for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.